everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 144 for the 27th of August, 2011. And first, let me start the show by saying big sorries for last week. We had to drop the Geek Actually show at the last minute. there's a lot going on. Let me just say this. I am Dave McVeigh. I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I'm awake. And
that's a good start.
For people that know me will know that I've had an ear problem for the last couple of weeks, and for the first time, I don't feel pain.
Yay!
So I feel really cautiously optimistic, but if you yell in my ear today, I will kill you.
All right, and the person he is referring to, of course, is our special guest in studio today, Matt White, also known as Snake Oz of the DLC crew. How are you, Snake?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
He's been on the show 5 minutes, and I've already threatened his life once. great start.
That's what you do with all our guests,
old
isn't it?
Friends.
Now, before we go any further, Matt, explain what the DLC crew is for those who don't understand.
Okay, basically the crew is the online forum community for Josh's Raw DLC website. So we basically run the forums and do all the gaming nights and all of that for Josh's
general chaos. They are really good guys, and I think Dave puts it best at the end of the show when he says there are a whole bunch of really good guys to game with that aren't the weird kind of gamers. They're all the normal ones, the ones you can actually talk to. So, yeah.
Fair enough. And we've actually had Matt on the show before because you brought that wonderful digital Rubik's Cube. And whenever he comes, he always has a really cool toys.
He's like our toy man.
He is.
Comes in and shows
and
us
today
awesome
he's
things.
Also brought in a really wonderful toy, which we will introduce in just a few minutes. But we'll come back to that. First of all, let's talk a little bit about this show and also make a couple of announcements because we have to do a little bit of cleaning up of things really first. This is the Geek Action Show. This is basically a show about all the crap that we as geeks care about. You know, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. This combines basically the best of our old tech show and our old after show and turns it into something kind of slightly different. It's basically your week in geek. We tend to take a lighthearted look at everything. So if we don't get completely accurate, well, too bad. All right, so that's just the way we are. Our links are brought to us by our researcher and our chat moderator, Delta Knight, who is in our chat room right now. Thank you, Delta. And once again, there seems to be a conflict of Delta and Clara Tungle, who sent me a million links again this week. But I have to say, guys, as much as I really loved all your links this week, that I didn't use a whole lot of them because we actually had a lot of stories from last week still that we had to get across. So what we did was we dumped out the stuff that was really topical to only last week and inserted some of the new stuff to fill in those holes, basically. And we do have something very topical to talk about this week. Yes, I'm sure, unless you've been living under a rock, you've probably already heard the news, but we'll come back to that in just a second, because first of all, some announcements to make. Now, as sad as this makes my heart feel, we actually have to suspend the Geek Actually show for about 2 or 3 weeks. We don't know how long yet, so if you want to have all the latest updates, make sure you follow me on Twitter @GeekActually, all one word, or our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/GeekActually, or just follow the site, because we'll also put stuff up on the site as well. The reason why we have to suspend it is because, as we said in the last show that we did, we are planning on moving studio. With looking for a new place and then having to move and then having to wait for internet to get turned on and everything else, it all just gets too hard after a while. And Geek actually does work best as a live show with our chat room and everything else. The Film Actually show will continue over this period of time, but it'll be pre-recorded. So there won't be any live shows for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And because there's no live shows, we thought, well, we'll just suspend Geek Actually for the moment. And we'll just do the Film Actually show over this next couple of weeks because it's going to get really, really tight. We're just and Saturdays, let's face it, are the day for things like house hunting and stuff like that. So we just can't keep doing the live show for the next couple of weeks. And then we'll be back stronger than ever. So just as I say, follow us on Twitter or follow our Facebook fan page or follow our site and you will have all the updates as to what's going on. So this is going to be the last Geek Actually for about 2 to 3 weeks. So let's enjoy it and then we'll be back in a few weeks. All right. All right. With that all being said, one other piece of announcement, which is actually more relevant to the Film Actually show, and we will talk about it in Film Actually, but we're renumbering the Film Actually shows. Mm. Last week, for the first time since Film Actually started, our numbers went out of sync. And the reason why film actually started at episode 92 or something like that was to keep it in number order with Geek Actually. But last week we did a Film Actually and no Geek Actually, so now they're out of sync. And because they're out of sync and we're 52 episodes in on Film Actually, we thought, well, we might as well just start calling it episode 53 and going from there. So like in good comic book tradition, we're not going to renumber the past episodes. We're just going to start the numbering.
Yeah,
at 53 or whatever, or whatever the number is. I can't remember what it is now. We'll find out in an hour. But it's like 53 or 54. So we're just going to start from that number. And so the
dude, we can totally come back later on and do a lost episode.
Yeah. So basically,
just pick whatever happened in that week, and we'll do a geek show of what happened at that time.
There you go. So basically, today would have been Geek Actually 144, Film Actually 145. Not going to be that. It's going to be 144 for this show, and then it's going to be like 53 or whatever it is for Film Actually. So just so if there is confusion when you look and go, why is it now suddenly this number? No, they're not back episodes. We're just picking up the proper numbering on that show. Listener feedback, and I thought I would just read this one really quickly. This is actually from Delta Knight, our researcher. And just so you guys have an idea, this is what I have to contend with every week. This is a big, long, two sheets of paper. These are all links that he sends through that I have to deal with, all right? But that's not what we're talking about here. What we are talking about here is at the very beginning of this week's links, he sent me a little note and said, hey, Dave, here are the links for the show. I know you probably don't need them since you still have links from last week, et cetera, et cetera. And we just talked about all that. But he says, also, this weekend's show marks the first year of watching Geek Actually Live. If you remember, the first episode I watched was on my birthday last year. That's my birthday is this Sunday, and I just want to say thank you to yourself, Josh, and everyone who is part of Geek Actually Show for a great year of geekdom. It's great being part of such an awesome community. And I say to you, Delta, happy birthday from all of us.
Oh, okay? Damn right.
Happy birthday.
So I hope you have a wonderful birthday.
Yeah.
We also have an email from our good friend Tristan, who says, are you scared? I am. How creepy is this video? And the music doesn't help either. The robots are collaborating together like some well-oiled machine, and they do it so well. I don't know about you, but this vid creeps me out. Now, I was going to play the video on the show, but it's 5 minutes long. And by the time I was editing it, I thought, we've lost everything by the time you actually cut it down. So we're not going to show you the video. I have it in the show links, and I want you to have a look at it. What I do have, though, is a photo from the video, which looks like this. This is called the Swarmanoid. Okay, this is once again a swarm robot. Remember we were talking about swarm robots the other day. And this is basically a claw robot, carrier robots, and so forth. And what this does is it works all in conjunction with each other. And they actually get the claw robot to climb a bookcase and grab a book out of the bookcase. And the way they do this is the first little swarm robots go out, create a line of robots so that they know a track to follow. Then two of the robots pick up the claw droid, carry it to the bookcase. The claw droid then climbs the bookcase, grabs the book, comes down, is picked up again by the other ones, and they all work basically together as a swarm.
Yeah, no, that's not creepy at all.
That's not creepy at all. So, yes, so I thought that was pretty terrifying. And I do say go watch the video because he's right. The music is really creepy, and these things just kind of crawl along doing their own thing. And you just then go, wow, that's just really – you can see it only looks like little toys at the moment, but this has got – much bigger ramifications.
But having said that, on the bright side, if they do stay like that, they look like Lego, so a 3-year-old can destroy
them. That's true. Although have you seen,
can stomp on them if they try and rebel.
Have you seen Kentucky Fried Movie? A toy robot. all right, but here, this will actually make you shudder in your boots. Apparently, Josh Spencer, our cartoonist, sent us an email and said, with an ever-increasing legion of robotic soldiers, the U.S. military is contemplating a plan to give robots their very own military base.
Oh.
I see nothing wrong can go with that. No, I can see nothing can go wrong with that. There you go.
I got the general
idea. You got the general idea. Where they could roam more or less freely. And plot our destruction. No, he doesn't say that. I said that. That just sounds like a recipe for robot rebellion right there. So we're creating an internment camp for robots. Is that basically what we're saying?
That's what we're doing.
There's a link to that story in the show notes, too. That is terrifying. They're basically saying
if I see one person on TV when the robots rebel saying, where did we go wrong? I'll be like, you know what, motherfuckers? You had so many chances to get out of this, and you still fucked it up.
Basically, if you read the article, it talks about the fact that they say that at the moment the robots go out there, they use them for tactical training and stuff like that, then they put them all away. And they thought, what if they could actually allow these robots to continue just functioning throughout the day constantly, autonomously? And all I can think is, no, we don't want that to happen. Especially not military robots. This is not a good idea. All right. Matt has written to us, not this Matt, another Matt, has written to us and said, "Hi, team. So Facebook is making it simpler, quote unquote, yeah. But more complicated at the same time, and moving to a Google Plus style ability to separate Facebook friends from Facebook work colleagues, etc. Now, Matt is also the one who alerted us to that whole phone number thing in Facebook, if you remember. And he said, I also checked with my brother who had the same problems as me with the Facebook phone book. He had dozens of names and numbers of people he didn't know. And I'm still waiting for his screen captures. What he's saying is this week, Facebook changed their privacy policies again.
Hooray!
Now, the concept here is that they have now tried to make it so it's less easy to share. You know what I mean? And I applaud what they're trying to do. But whether or not it's easy or not to set it up, I haven't tried yet. So, but basically what they're now doing is they've put it into place so that if somebody tags you in a photograph, for instance, you get notified and you can actually block that tag.
Yeah.
If somebody puts a photo up of you, not a photo, I don't know, anything, tries to message you, or you get notified before it goes public and you can stop it. So basically it's, what was happening before was you would say, I'm locking myself right down, and then your friend goes up and tags you in 50 photographs and you have no say in it because they have tagged you. Well, now they're basically saying that they're giving you that option to deny that.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, personally, I really stand for this kind of thing because personally, I've had a few problems with this kind of thing. My God.
What is that?
It's my phone.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was on silent. Apparently,
I thought it was a bicycle ring for a minute there.
Because personally, I've actually had a few situations where I've could have got in trouble due to people just thoughtlessly posting stuff up, and it may not have been good for other people involved that particular night or something like that. And it's like the concept of tagging is great, but it should be definitely asked by the person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think about this, Matt? What are your opinions on the whole Facebook thing?
Well, I've always thought that the notifications for tagging was always came through, because whenever I've been tagged in a photo, I've always got notifications.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then you can go and untag yourself.
Exactly.
And
yeah, but what this is saying is rather than have to go untag yourself, this actually gives you the option to not be tagged. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is, say two particular people were caught pashing in a particular photo, both get stuck up in that photo. They should be able to detag that before other people might see it. You know what I mean?
I like in our chat room, by the way, we go out live, so we have a chat room. Freak has said it should have been like this from the first place, you know, which makes sense. And why is it taking so damn long to do this? Delta Knight says, because no one noticed before. Which is the most perfect thing you could say about this, because it's exactly what everything with Facebook is: damage control. Mm. Everything with Facebook is they get a complaint, so that's when they fix it.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of bothers me about Facebook. All right, the last piece of feedback is actually pictures for you guys to have a look at. These were fantastic. Geek Betty sent these through. Mm. Is this not the ultimate Lego build? All right, we like Lego builds. This is the ultimate Lego build. Check this out. This is a camera. But what makes this such a good camera is this is a fully functioning 4x5 frame camera.
Yeah.
It was actually built. It's all Lego, and it's taken with the old-fashioned idea. The front piece there is actually bellows. It actually goes in and out, so you can actually set your focal plane. There is actually a photographic plane in the background, and it's done like those old-fashioned cameras where you literally have to take the lens off, put the lens back on, and when you actually look inside, this is what the photographic plane looks like.
Huh.
And if you go to the website, they've actually got all of the build pictures so they can show you how they're building this up. The lens is put on last, and this is what I think is the most amazing part. Here's a picture taken with it.
Yeah, wow.
So I thought that was pretty amazing. So I say congratulations to these people for building this camera. This is amazing.
Definitely.
Who is Kerry Norton Photographs, by the way, is the website. So you can go and have a look at that. And I love it when people get really creative like that. I think it's fantastic. All right, that's our feedback. Now, Mr. Matt White, I believe you have a friend for us to meet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking
of robot apocalypse and terrifying things, explain to us why your iPhone is on the table here.
Basically, my phone's a little camera, basically, for a friend who's just sitting there on the floor. And it's basically just the controller and everything for it. So I'll let him take off.
Let's bring him along and have a look and have a meet of him. Here he is. Now, if we can just slide out of the way there, Matt. Whoa, 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 whoa. This is an AR drone. We talk a lot about the quadcopters on this show. Here's one in motion. He is fantastic. Look at that control. So where are his cameras located?
Do a spin.
Oh.
Getting good with that thing, huh?
You've been playing a lot with this, haven't you? Oh, man, that is so sweet. Bring it up here and let's have a look at it. All right, so where is it, where are its cameras located?
Okay, we've got a camera on the front.
Camera on the front, yep.
And that's basically...
So you've got a visual representation of that. Oh, look at that. Look at that.
That's so cool.
That is so sweet. I don't know if anybody in the chat... Let me see if I can do this on camera two. If you have a look here on camera two, for those who are watching live...
Move the thing around.
You can actually see that the camera on the drone is coming through to the iPhone. That is awesome, man. That is amazing.
Don't let it see me.
Callison says, do a loop, do a loop.
Do a flip, man.
Not in this room, man. It's not big enough. It says, Freak wants to know, do you have passwords to access control of individual drones?
No.
Okay. So this has got your... So basically, it's like playing a computer game. It's just got thumbsticks.
Yeah. At the moment, I've got it set as two thumbsticks.
Yep.
And that, but you can have it. You can have it set.
It's saying too much angle. Emergency! Yeah, emergency!
Josh. No, that's all right because it's not flying. But basically, it's got a thing that if you in flight, if it's tilts too far or whatever, it cuts out. Because
so it's still flashing though. Do you have to do a reset or anything?
Oh no! As soon as it's flat and level, if I hit the takeoff button.
Right, then it'll reset at that point. Okay, gotcha. All right, so there's the takeoff button.
Yeah.
And I was asking Matt about this before the show started, whether or not it actually had whether it had another type of controller or is it only iPhone? Apparently, it's only iPhone control.
Mm.
So that's
iPhone, iPad. I've heard rumors that you can control it off your Mac or your PC. There must be a Mac app that can download and it basically connects to the same way that the phone does and you can control it and that, which would be probably cool. But
so now what you need is somebody else to get one and you can play that dogfighting game.
Yeah, but they've actually launched several apps with it at the moment. There's the Free Flight one, which is the one I just used to basically control fly it around.
Yep.
There is the dogfighting one,
yep.
and that where both drones have weapons and you fight as in
sweet.
There is a pursuit one where only one drone has weapons and the other one has to get away and then when you kill the hunt the prey you
can you make a little bit closer
you swap places so then the hunted becomes a prey and
it's tag. That's awesome.
It's laser tag with drones. We have some questions from the chat room. Freak says, yay, an AR drone. Now it says, does it record video?
You can get third-party apps which record video. The four apps from the people who make it, Parrot, don't record video. But you can, do screen captures, with your iPhone by hitting the power and the home button and do a screen capture. But it's not really recording. But what Parrot have done, which is really good, it's based on the Linux operating system.
Right.
So they've opened it up for other developers
to
create their own apps which control the drone, and some of their apps, which I haven't bought yet, I've only got the official Parrot ones at the moment, some of the third-party apps will record video.
That's fantastic.
And others...
Then you've got the ultimate spy toy, don't you?
Yeah, except it's very noisy. So
okay.
and your battery life's not
so. What is flight time?
Flight time, on average, I'm getting about 10 minutes, and that, which is not bad. I've heard a lot of people on the internet complaining about it.
Yeah,
it should be a lot longer.
Do you think we're going to get long life batteries coming soon?
I don't know.
Higher capacity batteries.
No. Well, you can get other batteries that apparently. Capacity, but I'm only ever going to buy the official stuff.
Makes sense.
But I can see where they think that it takes an hour and a half to charge the battery, and then you're only getting 10 minutes out of it, 10 to 12 minutes. I can see where they're coming from, but when you look at it from a technical point of view, it's controlling two cameras,
four motors,
four motors.
Yeah.
It produces its own Wi-Fi for your phone to connect to.
Yep.
So it's producing an access point.
And the battery's only literally that big.
Yeah.
Mm. You've got a spare, don't you?
I've got a spare.
So it's actually, it's bigger than a mobile phone, but it's not a huge battery.
No. And I mean, like,
so the amount of stuff it's powering.
This is the first batch of them. This is the first time. Give them, you know, three or four months, and they'll drive by themselves and no doubt recharge on the go.
It's 1,000 milliamps. I can see these coming up to like 2,200 milliamps and stuff like that. You watch, these things will start coming out. They'll start increasing capacity.
I think that's what the other batteries are. They're slightly higher capacity.
What you want is AR drone to actually do that. Yeah.
But they're not, from reading people who are using these third-party batteries and all of that, they're not getting much longer flight time.
Right.
So I don't see the point. But that it's also got an altimeter in it too, because you notice when I turned around, it actually went up. It will sense, if I've got it at a level and then I fly over an object, it will know it's not at that level anymore, so it will...
It will go over the object.
Wow. Yeah, it will think. So that's why when I turned to see what it was doing, my shoulder went under it.
Yeah.
And that's what pushed it up towards the roof.
Oh, is that what happened there? Yeah. Okay. Callison wants to know if it's Bluetooth. It's Wi-Fi, isn't it?
It's Wi-Fi.
It's Wi-Fi. Yeah. Okay.
And that when you play against other opponents, like in the race app or the pursuit app or the dogfighting app, your phones connect to each other via Bluetooth, but the drones connect to the phone via Wi-Fi.
And is it paired to the phone, or is it just an open Wi-Fi port?
No, it's paired. So, like, I can connect it to my iPad and that, but I actually have to hit the unpair button.
Right, underneath. What I'm saying is, so if I took my iPhone, downloaded the AR drone software, I couldn't suddenly just take control of your...
No, in that you need to unpair it.
Right, and to do the pairing, does it give you a passcode or...
No,
I'm just trying to figure out the security on it. Somebody's talking... In our chat room, we're basically saying it should be secure because otherwise somebody could come along, hack out your AR drone and take it away from you. You know what I mean?
Well, from the way I've experienced it, it doesn't seem to have security as in passwords and all of that, but it must pair up, say, like using the MAC numbers and all of that, because I can't now just go and connect my iPad to it.
You have to unpair it from that first.
Because, like, I thought, the video on the iPad would be much easier for the chat room and all that to see because of the bigger screen. Yeah. But I hadn't thought of it before. And that, but
that's fair. With that little camera, they could actually see quite well. I think it is sweet. I want one. How much do they cost?
$350 from EB.
It's a bit pricey, isn't it? For a casual toy, it's a bit pricey. Yeah.
But I think they're getting into it quite big, and that they're releasing accessories to go with it, like for the AR
rockets, guns.
Oh well, at the moment not yet. But Parrot's just their latest app is the AR Race, which is basically. You get to make up a course and you race your drones around the thing. You can do
That's
it
cool.
just time trial by single, or you can by yourself, or you can have multiple opponents up to four.
We've just had I love our chat room, by the way. Our chat room are such geeks. We've had in our chat room, they've been talking about the distance. They're talking about range because, you know, you're bound by the range from your device. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, they're saying, because there's no passwords, could you set up a Wi-Fi repeater stations? And you could basically have like a huge arc of Wi-Fi repeater stations, so you could increase the range of the AR drone.
There's no reason why you couldn't, technically.
Yeah.
But I think it's the kind of thing that you don't really want to... again, I mean, isn't that the great thing about something like the AR drone? It's like, in itself, it is so Linux. You know what I mean? It's so about the community. Because it's like, what comes back to them? Like, just exactly the stuff that this chat room is talking about. It's like, the idea of repeaters, the idea of increasing battery life, the idea of creating more creative programs for it. It's like, we will bring the robot apocalypse down on ourselves.
Callison is now saying, maybe you could fit it with some small solar panels.
That's very... Anyway, you're getting sidetracked.
I think it's fantastic. Yeah. Have you been having a lot of fun with it?
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun.
Have you done anything yourself? Have you tried anything really? Have you like thought about attaching like a crane to it and picking stuff up with it?
Yet. At the moment, I'm still getting the
controls.
The hang of it. Yeah,
flying and that.
That's a good question though. What is its payload? What can it carry? aside from itself, what sort of weight can it actually lift?
Well, you wouldn't know. It hasn't lifted anything with it.
Well, what I'm wondering is because, like, there's a lot of people who are putting Kinects on them, for instance. So it obviously can lift. It obviously has payload.
There, like, on the Facebook page, the Parrot Facebook page, people have uploaded videos where they've attached a high-definition camera to the bottom.
That's
of
what
it.
I'm thinking.
And, and they're apparently on YouTube and all of that. So
how cool would be a shot looking straight down?
Yeah.
And you just go straight up with the camera.
Yeah.
Can actually do that.
Oh, you can do that. Okay.
Switch the camera. There is a camera on the bottom of it. Was
it just? It's ready for takeoff, dude. and there it is.
On the bottom. That's
Look, hold on. Let's
see. See, that's just designed right there. That is designed for use for picking stuff up.
All right, move that camera around for us. There you go. Look at that.
That's so cool.
That's awesome.
Because what this camera apparently is attached to is...
Are these speakers or vents?
That's the altimeter. The ultrasonic.
Okay. Right.
That detects it. That's why, because it's at the front when my shoulder went under it.
Right. Gotcha.
But apparently this bottom camera is attached to it. So because it's got an onboard computer, when it's flying in wind and all of that, it's used the bottom camera...
To find the ground.
And that's why you need sort of high contrast ground.
And that's what you're saying about the landing pad. Why there's a landing pad so it can actually find its landing pad. Very clever. Yeah. Very clever. That is awesome.
And it's also in the new apps. Oh, in the new app, The Race, they brought out the new things to fly through, like obstacles. You've got two pylons,
mm-hmm.
and it's got a yellow... Yeah, a checkered tape between the two of them.
Mm.
And that's so when the bottom camera goes over it, it registers that it's gone through the pylons. And you've got a donut that you fly through, and when you fly through it, the front camera picks the inside loop of the thing, and it registers that you've flown through it.
That is fantastic.
It counts the laps as you do these races.
That's
really, really good. I like that a lot.
I think they're getting into it.
And it
looks like it's going to be supported, and for
our chat room has basically said that they can never get heard. Now, who is it that said that? Where is it? There's a Calcent said I'd be afraid of getting one because I couldn't resist tinkering with it. I'd probably end up breaking it. And Freak has said, "Yeah, I'd be the same. I'd be pulling it to pieces."
Well, you can buy all the parts to it. Like I was thinking, because they'd break. The foam, the outer case is only foam because it's fairly light.
There you go. Northy came up with a really good one. There, teach the camera to read QR codes and then send a bunch of them on a scavenger hunt. No, tell me that isn't amazing.
That's brilliant. That's
like
brilliant.
Actually having to find and scan particular items in a house.
So that actually brings up the next point, though. What is the range? We've talked about repeaters.
Okay.
This basic range of this thing.
The basic range is 50 meters.
So from you.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't have to be on a Wi-Fi network. That's Wi-Fi just to your phone.
Yeah, it's Wi-Fi. It's the Wi-Fi access point produced from the drone itself.
And your phone is connecting to that Wi-Fi. Yeah. Okay, good.
So, like, if I look at now...
50 meters is a relatively big circle, though.
And that's also up and down. So if I look into my settings on my Wi-Fi now, I'm actually connected to AR drone random.
Oh, there you go. Excellent. Okay, fantastic.
And you can change that SSID as well.
Right, okay, good.
To make it more personal and things like that.
What's the Freak is saying, I reckon you could put a phone into it and use that as a long-distance controller. All right.
See, now they're just going crazy.
Guys, stop hacking the device before he's even had a chance to play with it.
Just now, all of a sudden it picks up and takes off. Like, you guys settle down.
Stop it. All right, so this here, what we're looking at here is an alternate dome for it.
So you were saying
that you can take off the top dome.
This is for when it's flying indoors.
Okay, I'll repeat because you're a little bit far from the mic. So this is the indoor cover.
Basically, the guards protect the
rotors. Right, yep. So that's so you don't hit the furniture and what have you.
So it's very easy to take off. It's all just magnets.
All right, so that just pops off like that. Oh, there you go. Okay, so that's all that's the indoor one. And so, if you want the performance outdoor, rig. Oh, here you go, Josh. This is made for speed now. that's the speed outdoor.
Outdoor.
It looks a bit naked without its bumpers.
Yeah, but it's much more low profile.
That's true. And apparently, so it's more maneuverable now, right?
Slightly more, yeah.
More maneuverable and faster, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, but speed actually comes from the settings on your phone.
Yeah, but what I was wondering about, this would have a lot of wind drag on it, yeah. So.
And that, because, like, when you go into the phone settings, you select what hole you've got on it and whether it's outdoor.
So what you want now is you want to be a person who can actually custom make the covers and you can actually put one with people in it and make it look like a speeder or something.
No, man, just make it completely black so you can swing it around at night and freak the crap out of people walking through the park.
It's a lot smaller without its little wings on it.
If you actually go onto the Parrot Facebook page, people have customized them.
Oh, of course they have. I'm not surprised at all.
There's completely jet black ones. There's ones that look like those drone robots out of the first Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah,
and that with the red eyes on it. And that with computer LEDs all down the side of it.
Oh, that would look hot.
Oh,
make it look like a UFO.
It looks very awesome.
All right, well, look, this thing is fantastic. And for the audio listeners out there, I know that this is particularly visual because we're looking at this thing in studio. But you can always go back and watch the video. We'll have this video up as a replay on the site. Go and have a look at it so that you can have a look at this thing. It's a really, really sweet thing. We've talked about AR drones a lot on this show, and to actually finally have one in studio is a thrill because it's something that Josh and I have been looking at coveting for a long time.
It's definitely put it a lot higher on my list and will be on my Christmas list now. Absolutely.
Boy, that is so light.
Right next to the PlayStation Vita.
I can't get over how light that is. That's really amazing. All right. Well, we should move on to some other news, though, shouldn't we? Pop that down there out of the way. I think the other thing we really need to talk about today, thank you so much for bringing that in.
Yes.
Not a problem.
Thank you so much for bringing that in. You made my day.
I just have to thank my wife for letting me get one.
Yes. I will have to beg my wife for letting me go. Although with all the moving costs and everything, I doubt it's going to be anytime soon. All right. I just put it in the show notes as holy crap. I mean, this was probably the most sudden news of the week. And talk about sucking all of the oxygen out of the room for anything else in this week's news cycle. I mean, quite frankly, Apple is known for doing that anyway, but this is quite frankly the biggest thing that's happened in the tech industry in what, 15 years maybe, which is Steve Jobs just up and resigned as CEO of Apple Computers.
Somebody said in the chat room, and I totally agree with them, he had kind of already resigned technically, mentally, long time ago.
I agree, and I think that when he went on his last medical leave, which he's still technically on, I actually said I don't think he's coming back from this one.
Yeah, I remember.
But that being said, Jobs is the sort of person who doesn't like to give up. So for him to turn around and say, although I have to do, I look, this is an indication of how his health must be at this point, because he actually has always stated that if he could not fulfill his duties as CEO, he would step down. He just stepped down. Yep. So he obviously thinks he cannot do it. Now, he has been made head of the board. So he is still the head of the board of Apple, but he's no longer in charge of day-to-day operations. Tim Cook has been appointed that. We all kind of felt that Tim Cook was probably going to be the successor to Apple, and now he is. He's not the showman that Jobs was by any means, but a lot of people talk about Apple and the structure of Apple today and the way Apple functions, and they say Tim Cook actually did this, not Steve Jobs. This whole idea of the minimizing the product line down, that was Tim Cook. The whole idea of getting rid of the clones, that was Tim Cook. It's like, so all of the structure and the behind the scenes and the actual formulation of the company, this is Tim Cook. He's the nuts and bolts man. Jobs is the ideas man.
Yeah, and this is why I wonder, kind of like, there's a lot of talk about the future of Apple at the moment and kind of where they'll go from here. And it's like, I actually do wonder, because it's like, people don't realize how, like, people are like, yeah, but Jobs is just a figurehead. No, man, like you said, he is the ideas man. This man was the guy that sat down when they were first building the iPad, and I'm talking about before the phone was even thought of. And literally, they showed him. They had been working on this thing for ages, and they showed him at one stage just the rubber band effect when you pulled on a thing, and he just turned around and went, let's make a phone. And that was it. Like, he was the man that created the concept of the iPhone, then became what we know now. And it's like, this man was behind these things. This man was behind the concept of the iPad. And the one problem that I have, and the one fear I have for Apple as a company now, is the fact that there's not that white image anymore. I'm sorry, but Steve Jobs was the white image. When Steve Jobs stood on thing and says, we're going to take away this, and you're not going to be able to do this, but you'll be able to do this, and people will be like, wow, cool, let's give it a try.
Once again, the consummate showman. He exactly, could actually sell it.
We trusted him to at least bring us something that would be revolutionary. Even if we didn't like certain parts of it, like my problems later on with the iPad's functionality with incorporating everything and stuff like that. It's like, even though that may not be the case and I may not like that, I respect the man. Like, I had an argument with somebody recently because everybody seems to think that I've just become anti-Apple overnight. It's very much not the case, because somebody turned around and went, well, you don't care, Josh. You're Android now. And I went, no, I'm sorry. This man has every bit of my respect. Mm. Without him, tablets would not be on the market.
And he was the last great tech personality.
Exactly.
You know, we've lost Gates. You know what I mean? It's like, he's, I mean, with the exception of maybe Jeff Bezos of Amazon, who's kind of colorful in his own right.
Yeah.
But Jobs is Jobs. You know, this is the man who shaped and formed a lot of the IT industry as we know it.
Exactly.
And for him to step down now, okay, he's not dead. I mean, we talk about it like he's passed on. I mean, he is just stepping down as CEO, but it's still, we're losing that vital component of
Apple.
It's
interesting because, I mean, Apple gets these kind of surges and people think now that Apple's going to take over the world, but I'm actually wondering whether or not this will be kind of the settling point for this huge rise that we've had in Apple. I'm not saying people are going to stop buying them. That's stupid. You'll still get that, but instead of Apple kind of taking over the world, I actually see it sort of almost mellowing to a middle now. With Windows 8 just around the corner.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting the next... Yeah. Look, somebody pointed out last time Steve Jobs went on sick leave and everybody was saying, how's this going to affect Apple? It's not going to affect Apple at all for at least 5 years.
Exactly.
Because Apple works on a five-year plan. They've got their next lineup set up in place, with the exception of things that may change, you know, at the last minute or what have you. Yeah. But their basic structure is set in 5 years in advance. So we're not going to see a lot of what's coming out over the next 5 years is already planned and budgeted for. It's the 5 years after that that is going to be very interesting to have a look at. Now, the design will be the design. Johnny Ives hasn't left and he's the head designer. Yep. And the design of Apple stuff is going to look the same as always. All the various heads of all the various departments are all still in place. Yep. So all those things are still going to run the way they're running. It's the salesmanship. It's the pitch person.
And this is what I'm saying is that I'm not worried about the design. They're going to bring out beautiful units no matter what. Where I think the interesting part of the factor is going to come out, that Apple's launched this concept and they were the first one to the gates properly. Okay, you can exclude those crappy tablets that came out beforehand. No one gave a shit, no one bought them. The iPad revolutionized the way we compute. Right, the iPhone 4 came out, was absolutely dynamite.
It's
right,
the phone that all phones
now
are
people are thinking about the iPhone 5 and stuff like this, but you're going to start getting tech that'll come out that's better now. And this is where I'm going to be interested, because it's like, has their five-year plan incorporated the fact that, like, Windows 8 is going to bring out a tablet-concepted version of Windows that will just work on any tablet?
But the next thing I have to say after that is, with Microsoft's track record, will they?
Yeah, exactly. And will their marketing campaign be so incredibly racist that no one goes out and buys it?
Speaking of marketing, I got to just point this out very quickly. I was walking in the city the other day going to a movie screening, and there was this huge billboard for a tablet, and I went, oh, that's an interesting one. Which one is that, right? Mm. And I walk up, and it's the HP touchpad, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
All I can think is, and this was right after the fire sale just took place, and all I can think is, you've discontinued this. You've sold them off at $99 a piece, and yet you still got the marketing all over town for it. It's like, talk about, what are we looking at?
Picture.
Oh, sorry, my arm must have bumped the picture. There we go. Yeah. thank you for that. You just look at it and go, wow, you really got to, if you're going to just like.
Well, actually, funnily enough, apparently they're just about to hit here. Because people are asking for them in droves.
No, they just sold them out. We actually had one of our listeners wrote to me and said, did you pick yourself one up? Harvey Norman sold them out at $99.
Oh, dude, I can't believe I missed that.
No, neither can I. Now, here's the irony of it all. This was late breaking. I don't have this in the show notes. I just heard this. I was listening to, I think it was Windows Weekly, actually, the Leo Laporte thing. Apparently, HP has now turned around and said, wait. We are not killing WebOS. We are not killing this. This seems to have this massive thing about how they're just getting rid of it, WebOS and blah, blah, blah. They're going to open source it. They're going to license it. They're going to move it out. They just don't want to be in the hardware anymore. That's why they've sold out the hardware. Yeah. So it's like, don't jump the gun. Don't think we're just bailing out here. You know, it's like this apparently really mixed messages went out over all this. This all just went berserk really too fast, too soon.
Actually, but dude, price-wise, apparently they were $199. So I don't know where people got
$199. Well, regardless, I mean, they were $500 or something.
Dude, so. I had a look at the tablets a while ago, and they're all right, but I wouldn't have paid $200 for it.
There's huge ad on TV last night for Motorola Zoom, and all I can think is you must be just having an absolute field day that the Galaxy Tab 10 has been held up. You know, because that's really, they're all sitting there going, yeah, buy us while you can't get a Samsung. Mm. Matt, what do you think of Steve Jobs resigning?
Yeah, it's like it's sudden shock news, but you sort of knew it was coming.
It's been written on the cards for a long time. It's just how suddenly it took place.
And then you still wonder, too, whether it's really a good thing because, like, he went on sick leave before, but then he still showed up at the conference and all that. So you still wonder whether he's resigned.
Yeah, but if he actually steps down now, that's a big difference.
But so. Given that he's, he said that he's resigned, but they're still the head of the board, is he still going to show up for these
Will they wheel him out?
Yeah, once a year conferences just to make the speech and all of that and then just go off into...
My question is...
the smartest thing for them to do, and it's kind of a horrible thought to actually think about it, but I can actually see them kind of powdering him up and sort of chuck him on stage and getting him to say it. But the question is, he's resigned in his mind now, so will the speeches still be the same?
Yeah, and the other question you got to ask yourself is, if he is resigned because he feels he can't continue on with CEO duties, how bad is his health?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, if he feels that he can't, for something that he adores and loves so much, I mean, he loves Apple. He lives and breathes it. So you got to ask yourself, if he feels that he can't continue on his duties, how sick is he? You know, and that concerns me a little bit, you know?
Well, look, I'm not trying to use this to sort of advocate it in any way, but we know that, this man advocates, you know, sort of use of weed and stuff like this. Like, the man is all about a centered concept for himself. Like, he's lived that way. This is why he's lived so freaking long through all of this, is because he's all about himself. Like, look at him. He always looks calm. You know what I mean? Like, even when he's really...
Well, the man bathes and is in his own ego, so...
Exactly. And so I think that it's probably one of those things...
He's the ultimate example of high status.
Exactly. He knows that he has to keep himself, you know, sort of centered, and he knows that he's trying to, you know, sort of drive for himself to still stay alive. It's probably just got to the point where even if he is working day to day, he just can't maintain that feeling because he's probably really sick, and trying to work with this whole kind of centered nature while you're very ill and while you're trying to, you know, you've got the entire world on your shoulder, it's probably just too much.
Especially also considering, what was it, last week Apple was actually valued at more valuable than Exxon. I mean, that is phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Apple has just gone from strength to strength at this point as a company.
Yeah.
And you got to say, that's got to be a hell of a responsibility to be running that size of ship. You know what I mean? So,
well, it was interesting, though, because it came at such a strange time for me, because I was reading in a thing apparently in Australia how the scales have tipped again. I don't understand why this is such a news story every time it happens, but apparently now Android in Australia is bigger than Apple. And, like, we remember we reported, like, 3 weeks ago that Apple, in this country...
But the Apple thing was, it was about the hardware vending, though. It was about the actual phone.
And this is what I'm saying. As a phone thing. And, of course, it's going to be like that, man. Like, seriously, you can't weigh out one Android phone against the iPhone. It's just never going to happen.
Android will win on sheer numbers because there's so many different models.
Exactly. So. And this is what I'm saying. It's like, I read that story, and then literally the next story was Jobs resigning, and I was like... This is an interesting way to read the news.
We actually had, I love this comment from Callison. It's back to the HP touchpad thing. By the way, that $99 price tag was $99 in America. They were being sold off at $99 in America.
Well, he was saying that was $99 here for the 16 gig. Maybe I just...
Oh, okay. Well, maybe. Callison says, I wasn't interested in it. I just think HP went about this whole thing badly, especially considering apparently the PC web OS divisions only found out about everything from the press releases.
Oh, wow.
That is really shoddy. No wonder HP's in trouble. All right. All right. Oh, man. Time is flying by so fast. Yeah. All right. Let's move on and basically say, all right, what do we got here? Oh, this one I thought was kind of cute. Clara Tungle sent this one through basically saying that, you know, all this obesity and everything we're facing, my thing's not feeding. There we go. Apparently, it's tech's fault.
Obesity.
Yeah, everything. You know, all the health problems, obesity, and all that sort of stuff. Mm. And the article makes some valid points, which is basically, let's face it, nowadays we have remote controls, we tend to go out less often because we do everything on... let me just read it from here. It says, 11 ways tech has made us lazy. Okay?
Right.
One, massive amount of entertainment without leaving the sofa, which is very, very true. If this thing will ever scroll, I'll be able to tell you the source of this. The source of this is from TNW. Now, it actually says, so a massive amount of entertainment without leaving your sofa, very true. Checking in with loved ones without really checking in. So you don't actually have to go to their houses anymore. You can just basically send them an email, check in with them on Facebook, what have you. Mm. Restaurant food delivery. So people just get their food delivered to them. Online shopping. So they don't actually have to go out and go shopping. Quality time with friends. They just do it online now. They don't even go meet each other anymore. Journalists. I love this one. Journalists mining for stories. They don't actually go seeking the stories anymore. They just kind of look around, find stuff that they want to do. No more running your own errands. Things like TaskRabbit and so forth will do these services, will do these errands for you. No more perusing the bookstore. You can just sit there and, you know, check your books on your device. No more waiting on hold with 1-800 numbers. You used to pace the room when you used to wait for hold.
I'm sorry. Realistically, man, I want to say that this isn't the reason we're getting fat. These are lazy people not getting up, okay?
No, what they're saying is these are what are making us lazy, because these are things that a lot of us would do just because we had to do.
No. Laziness comes from the core, man. I'm sorry. Laziness comes from the core. Dude, my house is an absolute tech nightmare. You know this. Like, I have like 16 computers. I now have a 26-inch monitor on my desk and another monitor beside it. And then I've got the laptop sitting beside that and the iPad on the other side. I have 4 screens. I have everything networked in my house. I still go out for dinner. I still go for walks all the time. I still go to a bookstore because books are different from reading them digitally. Yeah. It's like laziness is laziness.
My favorite one, though. Number 11. No more getting lost or asking for directions.
All right, you know what? I'm gonna wear that one.
Because of GPS navigation.
Seriously, dude, I can't remember the last time I was standing in the middle of the city covered in sweat, going, 6 hours late, going, ah! It just doesn't happen anymore.
I do like the one about journalists, though. That is actually very true.
Yeah.
And because we're seeing more and more cases where journalists get things wrong and have to apologize because they're relying on online sources rather than going out and talking to people. Mm. You know, it's like, go out and talk to somebody, for God's sake. Anyway, all right, so there you go. That's text making us lazy. Mm. A story from last week, which we didn't get to do because, as I say, we didn't do a show last week, but the R18 plus rating for games is a go. All right. The New South Wales government has basically come to the party. We haven't got a date. We haven't got times. It's going to be next year for all we know. But basically, the New South Wales government said, yes, they agree in principle to it. It's going to happen. Okay?
Awesome.
But here's the follow-on to that story, which is from this week, which is that doesn't stop us from banning games anyway. Because apparently, we don't have an R rating yet.
Yeah.
And because we don't have an R rating yet, we just had another game banned.
Which one was it?
I'm bringing it up right now. House of the Dead Overkill. Extended cut has been banned in Australia.
So wait, this isn't just the remake version of the Wii
game? No, it's got 2 extra scenes. And because of those 2 extra scenes, it's been banned. Apparently. So there you go. They're going to appeal it, apparently.
You know what? Honestly, though, I think this one's going to slide through because most of us that actually played House of the Dead Overkill probably couldn't make it through it again. I'm just saying. I don't think I can do it again.
Freak in our chat room says, tech is an excuse to procrastinate. There you go.
Yeah. No, I disagree. Tech is the complete opposite. Tech removes my ability to do it because I'll be sitting on the couch going, I'm too lazy to get up and do that. And I'll be like, wait, there's a computer right there. Oh, God damn it. And then I'll grab the computer and start working.
Now, let's ask our guest here. Matt, do you find technology has made you more or less lazy?
I wouldn't say more or less lazy, but it's given me an excuse not to do the things that I should be doing.
So it's made you procrastinate. Very good.
As my wife would always say, I get very distracted when I should be cleaning. and that, and I'll go, I don't know what I did.
You know what? In the old days, if you go back and think about before, I'm old. You've always had computers, Josh. But in the old days, we'd go to clean the house, and we'd always find things to distract us anyway. Our favorite thing, you'd be cleaning the house, and you pick up a magazine and go, oh, this looks interesting.
You forget. Dude, you forget when I first came to this country for 4 years, I didn't have any form of computer. So I have been there.
Get the shakes on that. Just thought of that. Give me the shakes. Okay. Those with bandwidth caps. Start again. Those with bandwidth caps in this country rejoice. We did talk about a couple weeks ago that Lion, OS X Lion, was only available in the App Store, and it was a 4.5 gig download, and everybody's going, Jesus Christ, what if you want to put up multiple Macs, etc.? You don't have to worry, because Apple has now made available a USB key version of Lion available in stores. It's a little bit more expensive, though. I think it's like $60 or something like that. Ooh. Anyway, so there you go. You can hop up and find a USB version of that now if you want to. And holy crap, this woman wants to be a horse. I'll let that sit with you for a second.
All right.
This is a French artiste. Of course she is. Right. Who is injecting herself with horse blood.
Right.
To become one with the animal, basically.
Right. Why do I have the feeling this is going to end up in some form of animal rape and it'll be on the news everywhere?
It just seems that's
just a real creepy thing to do.
This is creepy all around. It says here, this is according to an article on...
geek related, by the way?
It was on Geekology. It's weird crap. We like the weird crap. The weirder the better. All right. Seen here daydreaming about going... blah, 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 blah. Okay, so Marion Lavelle has been injecting herself with horse blood as part of a performance, or as they put it, what the fuck piece of art. And they say, may the horse live in me. apparently she's had to inject the plasma slowly to build up a tolerance to injecting horse blood into herself, because you had to go through the immunoglobulins and whatever, in February this year. This is the part that gets me, okay? She says, her words, quote unquote, the artist during and in the weeks after the performance experienced not only alterations in her physiology rhythm, but also in her consciousness. Her own words now, ready? I had the feeling of being extra human, explained the artist. I was not in my usual body. I was hyper powerful, hypersensitive, hyper nervous.
No. That's lack of blood to the brain.
And very diffident.
Yeah.
The emotionalism of a herbivore. I could not sleep. I probably felt a bit like a horse. No, you felt like a whack job who was injecting herself with horse blood.
Yeah. I don't...
And I love the
anyway. You know what? Either way, it's an effective piece of
performance art.
Performance art, because
do you like the fact that she's got horse feet on?
Yeah, I also like the fact that she's cuddling a horse. There's so many reasons I'm.
This
not
is
comfortable
so
with that.
Wrong in every way. Can I just say that? So,
yeah, anyway. Well, that's fine.
Okay, if that wasn't weird enough for you,
bring it.
No. This next one's not weird. The next one is actually really cute. For a long time, Americans have used, and Australians, and English have used horseback-mounted police. Yeah?
Right. Yep.
Problem with horseback-mounted police is that they don't have all the usual bells and whistles that their car-bound police people have.
Yes. Yeah.
So what they've done in Louisville, in America, is they've started to mount computers on the backs of the horses. That's cool. So they can actually start doing the records checks. Because what used to happen before is they'd have to call everything in, have to be checked, and then the information would have to come back to them because they're on horseback.
Yeah.
Now they can actually do all that sort of stuff. All the same sort of computer stuff that they have in a squad car, they now have on horseback.
Nice.
So that's cool. But this is the one I really like, Josh. And you don't have to put your headphones on because the sound that is going to be heard by the chat room is sound clips that are actually taken from the game. So there's no original sound here. Mm. But these fans have actually made themselves a Wheatley.
That's awesome.
Hello. So
I'm the gorgeous
Very cool.
It's a hand puppet.
I almost got a job down here in manufacturing.
That's so cool. Now you've got to make it digital.
Only an exact duplicate of himself.
How cool is that?
They've spent so much time, they've actually got his movements down and everything.
For those who don't know, Wheatley is from the game Portal 2.
Yeah. I want to see it digital. I want to see it work without the hand.
That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you. Humans? Oh, love them. Just the way they look is great. When they're...
That is...
Folklore.
So cool. All right, so I want one of those. Mm. Whoever made that, I want one. Yeah. Okay, and geeks who like to make things, I applaud this man for this particular thing, but it's not quite there yet.
Right.
This person has made an iPhone coffee table. All right, so this is full size, and if you actually go to the website, there is video that shows it functioning.
This is a PlayStation interface, though.
Yeah, what it is basically a full computer inside there, but it's not touch. You still have to use a keyboard and mouse to actually operate it. So they haven't gone that extra step. The extra step would be to have made it,
you know,
Surface.
Just as a thing, and this guy will never hear this, but just in case he does, what you could have done is you could have mounted the camera, the iToy camera, inside the camera hole on the front of that thing and interface with the Move controller.
Yeah, that would be good too. The other thing that I do like about this, though, is the entire top face of it actually is on hinges.
Yeah.
And you can actually sit it up and use
Even further to my point then.
Yeah, and you can actually use it as a screen.
If you're listening, buddy, that's what you got to do next.
So it's a fully functional coffee table. It does sit up so that you can actually use it as a screen, or you can have it laid down as a coffee table. But he does fail in the sense it's not touch. It needs to be touch.
Yeah, you shouldn't have brought it out. You shouldn't have showed the world until you'd made it touch. Yeah,
but it's beautiful. It should have had the surface. It should have been a surface interface. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. But I think it, you know, points for build quality. If you actually go and have a look at the video on this thing, beautifully built, solid.
Do the buttons on the side change the volume?
I just
want to know how someone's going to lift it up to make a freaking phone call.
Yeah. And even further to the point, why didn't you just build a fucking coffee table? Everything doesn't need to look like an iPhone. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, you're done? All right. Now, I want one of these. This is old school, but this is so cool. This is called an emotograph.
Yeah.
And it's a little thing that sits on your table, and it's basically just a wood block sculpture.
Right.
But it has little wooden discs that actually slot into it, which change the emotion on the face.
Wow.
So when you actually, and I've got some more pictures here, when you actually put your disc in, which you can see is being slotted into the front there, there's all the mechanics on the back of it, and you can actually see that as you put different discs in, it has different emotions. So it'll be happy, or it'll be sad, or what have you.
Nice.
That is so cool. I think that is so neat. I want one of those too. These are all things I want. But Josh, I think this is the thing you want. How about the rubber band machine gun?
Ooh. Oh, dude, it even looks like a P90.
It's designed to, and it actually is clip-fed.
Right.
And I have video.
Oh, dude,
now,
yes.
I'll play this video. Now, the video is all just loud music and stuff, so let me just turn the volume down. We'll talk over it. I've heavily abridged this video. So this is just a video of the man demonstrating how it works. Basically, he preloads the wooden clips with rubber bands, and it can be set for semi-automatic or fully automatic.
Yeah.
And it looks something like this when it's actually running. So here we go. Here's the man. He's loading it up. So that's his clip. And the video actually shows him loading the clip and everything, so you can actually see how all of this works. But I love the fact that, and he doesn't want his identity known. Obviously, this is not particular. There you go, Cox. And that's in semi-automatic mode. Now, we can't really see what's going on. The rubber bands are firing at the front of that thing, and that's in fully automatic mode. But here we go. Now we'll actually watch him do some target practice. Clicks it into position, and that's the fully automatic mode. Change clip. And we should go into target practice mode here any second. Now, where are we? Here we go. All right, semi-automatic mode first. Cocks it back.
Shit, man. It fires them all right, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does.
Fuck me.
And here we go.
Better
load a clip.
Nerf gun.
He starts off in semi and then goes to fully automatic on this one. Here he goes. Cocks back. Semi, clicks it into position.
Very nice.
Wow, that's amazing.
We got to get us one of those, Josh.
Definitely.
I'm sure it's highly illegal in Australia with our gun laws. But I think that's really awesome. I think that's really neat.
If you sent that, like, seriously, you could send that to us without a clip in it, and it would be completely legal.
Send it all the pieces. It's just wood cutouts.
It's just wood.
We'll assemble it. We'll assemble it.
Being wood, it won't get through quarantine.
Ah, good point. Send us the designs. We'll carve one out ourselves.
Yep, for sure. Done.
All right. So we've got wooden machine guns. We've got the wooden emotograph. Let's go into some weird food here and say we as geeks like stuff big.
Yeah.
We always have.
Yeah.
And this week we have the world's biggest BLT.
Yeah.
We all like a BLT, bacon, lettuce, tomato. How about the world's biggest BLT? It looks something like this.
To Tom and Jen here, putting this together. It's the 7th annual Tomato Fest.
7th annual Tomato Fest.
On behalf of the children of the city of St. Louis that attend the Live for Life gym, we want to thank each and every one of you for coming out today to make the world's largest BLT.
This event is a fundraiser for
They toast it with a blowtorch. There they are, buttering it up. And here's the blowtorch.
Package on each side. Spread it around. Hold on to your spatulas when you're done.
Off the top of my head, plan was 550 pounds of bacon, but we used all 600 pounds of bacon.
600 pounds of bacon.
The bread was 440 pounds. We used 550 pounds of tomatoes. 220 heads of iceberg lettuce. 110 pounds.
All right, that's a massive sandwich.
60 gallons of mayo. How about that?
Let's have a look at some of these stats here. This BLT was 600 pounds of bacon, 440 pounds of bread, 550 pounds of tomatoes, 220 heads of lettuce, 110 pounds of butter.
Fuck me.
60 gallons of mayonnaise and a quarter tank propane for toasting.
Wow.
That is a very big sandwich. It is 68 meters long. 46 centimeters wide and 898 kilograms.
Nice.
That's a serious sandwich,
that
man.
That is a serious sandwich.
That's a serious sandwich. So I am impressed. Josh, these are for you.
Yeah.
I thought we're talking about food. We're talking about geek food. We often talk about weird geek food. But then I came across this. Well, I didn't come across this. Actually, this was sent to us by Delta Knight. And all I could think was, this isn't weird. This is what geeks would want. These are called turkeys.
Right.
Turkeys are a potato chip beef jerky hybrid.
That is fantastic.
So there you go. Beef jerky and a chip all in one.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's probably the ultimate geek food right there. That's it. That and a Jolt Cola, and I think you're set for the night, really. And then to put your sandwich and your turkeys in, how about the Nintendo Entertainment System lunchbox?
That is cool.
So what we got on screen here is somebody's taken their old Nintendo Entertainment System, gutted it, and actually turned it into a lunchbox with the controller as the handle. I think that is just great.
That's fantastic.
And Callison's in our chat room would like to say that the turkeys should actually be called chips.
Chips. I like it.
So yes, I like the NES lunchbox. I think this is very cool. So if anybody's got old NESs around, here's something to do with them.
Well,
okay?
I've got one at home somewhere that doesn't
work. I love the
work,
fact that you can actually make the cartridge slot where you put the sandwich. That's really cool.
If he hadn't gutted it and it was still fully functional and a lunchbox, at least then you'd have something to do during lunch.
Well, there you go. But could you fit your lunch in it with them? We're not going to get there. All right. all right. Just for fun, this is a little time-lapse video that was sent through by Delta Knight, which I just thought was really good. Once again, we like Lego builds here. Mm. This is actually a time-lapse video. It's less than a minute long. Yeah. It's just to music. So for those who are watching on audio, you might want to go check this out on the video. But for our people who are watching live, check this out. This is the Lego Millennium Falcon that you can buy, built in time-lapse.
And this time lapse.
Yeah, and it just looks awesome. Check this out. How awesome is that?
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
And who doesn't love the Cantina theme? So, you know, it's like... Freaka said, Dave, did you see the time-lapse video of another time-lapse video? No, I haven't seen that. That's
a time-lapse video?
That sounds very meta. I want to see that. And Star Delta Knight says, I still want one of these and a Star Destroyer. Yes, Nicholas has a Star Destroyer. That's pretty cool. All right, this is our normal section where we would normally do geek picks of the week, but I think the only pick that I have for this week is that I want an AR drone. So I don't have any picks, unfortunately, because I have been house hunting and everything. Josh, do you have anything for us?
Picks? Yes, I have a few. Okay, first up in games. I would like to say it has come out this week, finally, after me being very excited about it for months and months and months. Deus Ex is out, and I am actually going to say this. I have not finished the game, so I will finalize this statement. But as long as this game continues the same way it has for the 46 hours I've put into it so far, I am putting this game in the greatest games I have ever played in my life.
All right, gotta go buy it then.
Yeah, okay. The game is fantastic. It has hours and hours and hours of gameplay. It is a perfect mesh between first person, third person, and RPGs, all rolled into one. The storyline is more than epic. It is actually like groundbreaking. Like the story goes like down to the art design. It's kind of a reinvention of kind of the Renaissance era, reinvented again in the future. Down to the point where the costume design is actually supported from kind of that era. Like, that's the level of detail. Like, everything in this game has been thought of, and there is not a moment of this game that won't make your dollar value worthwhile. Everyone I have talked to has loved it. Every journalist that I know that has reviewed it has given it above a 9. So
I have to buy this game.
It is fantastic.
Right, what else?
I had a few, but I don't remember them.
I think Deus Ex is probably enough. Matt, do you have any picks for us this week?
Other than the drone,
we'll write that down. That's 2 for the drone now.
And I've been, girl at work got me onto some little twin stick shooters called Solomon's Keep and Solomon's Boneyard. You're a little wizard and you're just running around.
Solomon's Keep.
iPad or iPhone?
Yes. Yeah. iPad and iPhone, yep.
Solomon's Keep, is it?
Yep. And Solomon's Boneyard, which is apparently the sequel, but it's in storyline, it's the prequel to Solomon's Keep.
Nice.
Well, I'm going to have to get these in, aren't I?
And they're free at the moment.
And they're good?
Yeah, I'm having fun with them. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Fantastic. All right, we're going to... how much is Deus Ex? How much am I going to have to fork out for this thing?
It's got $100.
I'm going to trade some games in.
Dude, it's worth it. It's worth it. Like,
and I haven't finished it, but should I trade in L.A. Noire?
Definitely.
Okay. Dude, that fast.
No, dude. It's I can't stress this enough. Like every now and then, like every 5 to 10 years, you get one game that slides out that just reminds us of why we play games. And this is that game. It is fun, and there is so many ways to play it. I am already looking forward to the second time I play through the game and do it 80s action style, where I just abandon all concepts of stealth and doing things the right way, because the game does not in any way punish you for just run and gunning it. It's actually completely set up to balance that way. Your weapons are anything from sniper rifles all the way down to assault rifles and revolvers that shoot explosive bullets. And then you have weapons like Minority Report, where you actually have a gun that fires an electrical pulse that when you beef it up, if it makes people hit walls, they go unconscious. Like, this game is so deep. I just, I am literally planning a second playthrough as I play a first.
All right, I'm going to buy it. After I move and get settled and pay all those costs, my next purchase will have to be this game.
Yeah.
Okay, what is Callison talking about? But the last mission wasn't my fault because they gave me a rocket launcher.
Yep.
Well, he's playing Deus Ex. Okay, right. Okay, gotcha.
Don't give anything away, goddamn you.
All right, we're finished here, I think. That's all I've got for a show. Have you got anything else?
No, I'm done.
If you want to send feedback or anything, just remember that nothing's going to be said for about 3 weeks. So, but if you do want to make comment about the show, we still read all feedback and so forth. Send it to feedback@geekactually.com, voicemail 0280113167. If you want to follow all of the events of what happens with this show, as I said before, follow our Twitter page, our Facebook page, or the site itself. Just go to geekactually.com. All information is from there. So you can find our Twitter accounts and everything else all from there. All right. You can watch us record. Normally, watch us record the show every Saturday. There won't be any live recordings or Geek Actuallys for 2 to 3 weeks, as I've said. So let's make that very clear. If they want to find out more about you, Matt.
Okay, you can... I do have a Facebook page, but you can probably more find me at dlccrew.com.
Yep.
And that, where you can find me under the handle of Snake. And that, other than that, on the PlayStation Network, under Snake AUS.
AUS, yep.
Come play games with them.
Yep. And we've got a leaderboard match on tonight.
Are you playing?
Killzone 3.
Killzone 3.
And that's what our leaderboard game was thing, but if... yeah, once we wrap that up, if people still want a thing, we'll probably switch over to something else that's thing. But yeah, at the moment, the leaderboard's coming to an end. I think it'll be ending around the end of November. But at the moment, we got Psydog in the lead with Aiden 75, just 35 points behind him.
Fantastic.
So it's interesting comp.
And Josh. While we're still on the subject of DLC.
RawDLC.com is a gaming website. Head over there and check it out. We have a whole bunch of new videos and new awesomeness all week, every week. So make sure you go and check it out.
Fantastic. That's it. That's it for Geek Actually for a couple of weeks. So please enjoy this episode. And remember, we're not going away permanently. It's just while we're changing studios and everything. This is the first major upheaval we've had since... we started this whole thing, so hopefully it'll be the last major upheaval that we have while we're doing all this. So we also, the other factor of 2 to 3 weeks, of course, is we're going to have internet changed over and everything else. So it's all just crazy. So this is just what we're doing for the next couple of weeks. So bear with us during this tough time. The site will continue to function as normal because I can always do that on 3G if I have to. So, that's it. We're going to borrow Paige once again from our very good friend Delta Knight. And we're going to say Geek On, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us, Matt. And thank you very much for bringing in the AR drone.
Yes.
It's very pretty.
Yes. And we will be beating you up.
And it's never leaving this studio.
Yeah.
And we'll see you all next week, guys. Thank you very much. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.